Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
Well, all right, everybody. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Elite, the fastest growing fantasy football podcast in the nation right now. Appreciate all of your support. Very excited about the recent numbers that we're getting and listens and all that stuff. Really appreciate all of you guys. And we're just getting started, folks. We haven't even started scratching the surface. We'll be bringing in guests. We will be talking a lot of hot topics, really diving deep into it. Of course, I'm your host, Jeff Mance, GuruElite.com. That's where you find my work. Find me on social media as well, at Jeff underscore Mance, the Jeff Mance, on other social media platforms such as Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and all the like. I'm all over the joint, folks. And by all means, a lot of great feedback after the last show. By the way, this is episode 5 of season 2. Of Fantasy Football Elite, and I urge you guys, topics you want me to talk about, things, items you want to have a conversation, you disagree, you agree, whatever it may be, hit me up at Jeff underscore Mans, and we'll have a conversation about it. And also, if you've got topics you want me to address, whether it's certain players, whether it's teams, situations, coaches, all of that, by all means, we're going to dive into each and every one of them by the end of this 2018 fantasy football season, which obviously we've got 7 months to go. Long time, but a lot to get to as well. Today's show, what we're going to be discussing, how to win money in fantasy football right now. Or let me put it this way, because we're going to go to a slightly different area today. How to make money right now in football. That's it. That we'll just end it at that. How to make money right now in football. And there's a couple of different ways. One way, obviously, fantasy, said it right out of the gate. We'll talk best ball leagues. That's your biggest prize right now. If you're listening to this podcast, and a lot of you are, a lot of you are listening, you wouldn't be hearing to me if you weren't listening, obviously. Good Lord. It's one of those days, folks. My mind is scatterbrained because we got a lot of topics to get to. But best ball leagues, you're going to make money now. If you're ahead of the curve, what I'm saying is, if you're listening to a podcast in May, or even if you're listening to this in early June, for crying out loud, you have such a huge advantage over people. It's disgusting. So you need to take advantage of that. You need to win right now. And to win right now, you got to play in leagues right now. Because by August, everyone's going to go get their information, and we're going to have a lot more. Everyone's going to understand who all the new coaches and all the new personnel and what the rookies are like and what the free agency was like and all that stuff. Right now, nobody could – we go up on the street and say, are you a football fan? Yes. Out of the 10 football fans we poll, we say, what team does Dez Bryant play for? They're going to say the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how it's going to be. And how many of those people, by the way, will be able to name the offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins? Like, who's going to be able to, you know, who knows who's the defensive coordinator in Seattle now? Everyone likes Seattle, right? They're great defense. No. Where's Richard Sherman? Nobody knows. You guys know because you're paying attention. You're diehards. Let's get after it. So best ball leagues. Also, if you're really into football in the months of April, May, and June, Dynasty League's going to be your ticket as well. It's just what the brand of Dynasty was made for you. It's made for those of us who can't stop playing all year round, and we want off-season moves and transactions and drafts and free agency and all those types of things. So on today's show, I'm going to talk best ball strategy, a couple. I have one best ball strategy I'm really going to hammer down. We're going to talk plenty more in the days and weeks to come, and then we're going to talk about how to start up a Dynasty League. For those of you who may not have played before, maybe you have played, but you're in a shitty league or whatever it may be, we're going to talk about how to set up a dynasty league. We're also on today's show, and I'm very excited, we're going to talk some future bets, and we're going to try to hammer Vegas because now is the time. One, these numbers, I've been studying up on some of the expected totals and a lot of the future bets that you could make across, and with gambling becoming legal and sports betting, I should say, becoming legal across the United States, and especially states like New Jersey and West Virginia and all these other places, we could do this. Now we could, this is another tool in our tool belt we could take advantage to pad our wallets. By the way, that's what we want everybody to do. That's what the Elite Mafia is about. It's what Guru Elite is about. It's what I'm about. Helping every single person become a better fantasy player, a better sports analyst, a better baseball. I cover baseball in full. We cover basketball, MMA, everything else over at GuruElite.com with me personally doing mostly baseball and football. But you know, I never want to stop making money off the sports that I know. Why should we? Why should we ever give up? And we shouldn't. When we see something out of the norm, when we see an outlier, we need to hammer, take advantage of it. And that's what we're going to do on today's show. So that's what we're about today. Appreciate you guys downloading it, listening to us on GuruElite.com or wherever you're making us available. Let's talk a couple news items. I don't know. I hate getting into news. I'm not a news guy. I'm not Adam Schefter. Terrence Williams arrested. His Lamborghini got overturned. And he is now, he's going to be under the NFL's eye, if you will, and the Dallas Cowboys on what exactly happened with this story. It's a developing story as we sit here late May. But, I mean, we just have to address the fact that the Cowboys have nobody. I talked about Dez Bryant a second ago, and how many people know where he's playing? He's not on a team yet. The Cowboys' number one wide receiver right now, people will say it's Terrence Williams. It's not. It's actually Allen Hurns, which isn't that good. They drafted Michael Gallup in the third round, but is Michael Gallup a guy you think anybody thinks kid out of Colorado State, you think he's going to step in and make a huge impact in year one? I really don't think so. I don't think he has the size to. And so when we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, it's like, all right, Cole Beasley, came back down to earth a lot last year. You got the rookie in Gallup. You got Allen Hurns coming up from the Jaguars. To me, Allen Hurns is the number one guy. Terrence Williams, the only reason Terrence Williams is an impact guy or he continues to be trotted out. Oh, by the way, they also got Deontay Thompson, which should tell you another thing. What does Deontay Thompson and Terrence Williams have in common? They are blocking wide receivers. They are good run blockings, very deceptive wideouts that sell the routes even when it's in a running pattern, and they block well downfield. That's why Terrence Williams keeps getting a shot. Cowboys are going to run the hell out of the football. We knew that going in, but after drafting Connor Williams and Bo Scarborough and really addressing the, you know, padding their position of strength already, that's what the Cowboys are going to do. How does this affect Terrence Williams? We don't know. Possible suspension. We'll see what was involved in this crash. But I'm telling you this, don't frickin' draft Terrence Williams. Not in best ball, not in seasonal, not in redraft, not in dynasty, never. Don't draft Terrence Williams. The other news coming out of the NFL, or not even the NFL, it's the CFL, Johnny Manziel's up there. I don't give a shit about Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, for those who are new to my work and you're not familiar, I've been around for 12, 13 years covering sports professionally. And Manziel was the first time when he came out of school a few years ago, I stated very publicly, not just in passing, I literally said, if Johnny Manziel is successful in the NFL, and before he was even, I even knew where he went or anything, if he was successful in the NFL, I would retire. I would find a new line of work. I've never been so sure of a single failure in all my life than at Johnny Manziel. And there were so many things that went into it. So many, but you know, he was good college quarterback, but he initiated contact a lot as a quarterback, which is impossible. You can't do that. He was running around, bouncing off tacklers in college. You can't do that in NFL, especially when you're significantly undersized, thin, not strong. His arm isn't that good. Nothing was good. And then all the off-the-field problems with his drug use and alcoholism and party boy ways and not attention to detail, not studying the playbook. I was so certain he was going to fail. And he did, of course. So that's why I'm still kicking around. But now it's interesting with him going up to the CFL. Johnny Manziel could be a good CFL quarterback. He could. He's not going to be great. But can he go Doug Flutie on us? He could. He could. The thing with the CFL is they get the castaways. Let's just face facts. The thing I talk about in the NFL, when you're identifying talent and when you're scouting and evaluating talent, first thing you realize, if you really do your job well, is that every single solitary athlete at the NFL level who makes a team, 53-man roster, every single one of them is an elite athlete. Every one of them is the top 0.1% in the United States and beyond in the world of athletes. And, you know, speed, strength, skill, flexibility, everything else. They are the top 10th of 1%. They are the elite of the elite of the elite, right? All the way at the top. And then you start filtering down and we get into arena leagues and we get to whatever Vince McMahon's putting back to XFL. And now and the CFL's been around a long time. CFL's a quality league, you know, decent. Well, I'll watch, I'm a football Nick, man. I'll watch some CFL. I don't have a problem with it. But a little bit different of a game, of course. But the thing is, they're undersized. You don't, all of a sudden, the average size of offensive defense linemen aren't 6'3 and a half. You're talking 6'1 and a half. You're talking about guys not 320-pound defensive tackles. You're talking about 290-pound defensive tackles. All of a sudden, a 5'11 and three-quarter-inch quarterback with a slightly above-average arm like Johnny Manziel, who scrambles, and all of a sudden, the speed isn't there. The size isn't there. He's playing at his level once again like he did at college. He can't excel. And especially if he's off the sauce and making any kind of dedication. So I wouldn't write Manziel off in the CFL. I really wouldn't. But he was never going to be a quality NFL quarterback. And again, I stuck my personal track record on it. I stuck my family's livelihood on the fact he was going to fail. Not because I had an axe to grind with Johnny Manziel. Quite the contrary. I root for the kid. I would love to see him succeed and get off the sauce and the booze and the drugs and everything. But doesn't, you know, that's up to himself. But plenty of friends growing up the south side of Chicago that I have witnessed go down a very dark and narrow path and not come out very well. That's a story for another podcast, though. Let's get into today. The topic du jour is how to make money right now. How do we make money right now in fantasy football? And I'll say in fantasy football, and I'm going to start out with gambling and sports betting. That's the number one way. There are plenty of avenues right now, even if you don't reside in a state that has currently legalized sports betting. Either you go to Vegas, you go to online casinos, offshore casinos, there's plenty of ways. Your bookie, I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm not a judge. I'm a podcast host. I'm a radio host. I'm not here to critique everybody. I don't know. This is a judge-free zone. But you could be listening with your dick out. I don't care what the hell you're talking about right now. But NFL regular season win totals, let's talk about that. Let's look for opportunities for easy money. Easy money is what it's all about, right? Isn't that what we want? Hell yeah. And to me, in researching this, there's a trend going on across the sporting world right now. And this is why I wanted to talk about this. It's specific to one team and one characteristic. And right now, it's becoming a slow, like everyone's talking, the whispers at the hotel bar during the NFL draft, the whispers, you know, at the scouting combine in Indy. You know, we're all talking. Everyone's scared to say it out loud, but everyone is saying, the Cleveland Browns might be good. Oh my God, no, the Cleveland Browns might be good. No. And everyone thinks it's like this taboo topic. Oh my God, the Cleveland Browns are going to be good. Of course they're going to be good, idiots. What kind of idiot does everybody have to be out there? If you're, no offense to you guys listening. I love you and all. Listen, man gives you respect. But at the same time, I got to slap you across the head. If you're going to pretend because whatever happened last year in the NFL is pertinent to what happens in 2018, you're already behind the eight ball. You're already losing. Stop losing. Get on top of it. For crying out loud. They didn't win any games. Who cares? Who gives an F? It doesn't matter. Will you realize it doesn't matter? How many games did the Eagles win 2 years ago? Anybody want to riddle me that? Anybody want to go off and ask me how many games the Philadelphia Eagles won last year? I'll give you a damn minute because I guarantee none of you are going to be able to guess it. Only Philly fans will probably – even Philly fans might not. They finished in last place, by the way, in the division. They were last place in the NFC East. They won 7 games a year ago. All right, now that was only after winning their final 2 ball games in mop-up duty, right? Could have easily had 5 wins on the season. Finished 7-9, still in the last place, and they won the damn Super Bowl the next year. If you didn't see, and Folks, I'm telling you, I'm not saying this to pad my own back. I got a big salary that does that. I don't need my balls washed. What I want is for you guys to start winning money. Last year, I said that the Philadelphia Eagles were going to win the NFC East. It's exactly what I said. I did not think they were going to win the Super Bowl, but I knew they were going to be good. Why? Because at this time, I looked at the talent they acquired and saw that they were deep at every single goddamn position. Offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, secondary, wide receivers, tight ends, quarterback. They were deep at every position. I'm like, they're going to win because every other team in that league, and we saw it happen. We saw it happen. The Redskins got rid of all the receivers, couldn't get a damn thing. They didn't have an established running back. They couldn't win a damn game. One offense, Trent Williams goes down, Brandon Scherff goes down, goes in the dirt. Odell Beckham goes down, Giants offense. Brandon Marshall goes down, Giants offense, into the dirt. Ezekiel Elliott suspended, boom. Left tackle, Tyron Smith goes down, boom. Hole off, Sean Lee's goes down, of course. Cowboys fall apart, of course. It's about depth. If you're not hip to that by now, get hip to it. Super Bowl champions are sitting there because not because they had superstar players, because they had a ton of depth and good coaching. Another thing I've been stressing for years. Now, I'll say this. As much as I said how the Eagles were going to win, I also thought the Cleveland Browns were going to be good last year, and they didn't win a game. Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, I thought the Cleveland Browns were going to be a wild card team, and I'm embarrassed that they lost all the games. I don't give a crap. It doesn't matter if you win. That's a thing that major people wear suits every single day and pretend to talk and know about sports want you to believe that if – a team, there's a huge difference between being a 4-win team and a 7-win team. There's no goddamn difference. There's nothing different. Nothing. That doesn't matter. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter. And going 0-16 is sucky and it's embarrassing and pathetic and all that kind of stuff. At the same time, they lost a lot of games by just a few points. They could have easily had 3 or 4 wins, Cleveland Browns, easily. And would that make that better? Now, all of a sudden, they have 3 or 4 wins. Now, everyone's like, oh, it's not that crazy. Not that crazy that they might win 7, 8, 9 ball games this year. Of course, it's not that crazy. And here's the thing. Here's the whole what I'm coming around to. The win total for the Cleveland Browns in 2018 right now sits at 4.5. 4.5. That is incredibly – why does it sit at 4.5? Because there are idiots out there that think there's a big difference between winning 4 games or 5 games and 0 games. No difference. No difference. Stop arguing. I know there's no difference. The only bet – there's 3 bets right now, 3 future bets with a negative 155 or more, and one of them is the Cleveland Browns. Why? Because sharp people are betting the ever-loving hell out of the over on Cleveland at 4.5. Everybody, get the number as soon as you can. It's the key to future betting. It's how you make money right now. Make money right now. You lock it in because that number's going up. It's going to be 5.5. It will be. And that's 5, 6 wins. All right, now we start. Get the number while you can get it. All right, so you have to lock that in while you can. And yes, it's a minus 155 for a dollar. So for every 100 you bet, big deal. Take that number now. It's an easy winner. They're going to win. They have to play the Ravens, who are rebuilding, the Bengals, who are rebuilding, and the Steelers, who might not have Le'Veon Bell. They already got rid of Martavis Bryant. They got rid – oh, by the way, the offensive coordinator and that stellar Pittsburgh Steelers offense is now the offense coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Todd Haley. Think they know a little thing or two on how to beat the Steelers. Steelers, no Ryan Shazier either. Roethlisberger contemplated retirement. There's a lot of wins. There's 4 wins in the division for the Browns. There's 4 right there. They're just locked into 4. They could win 4 games in that division, right? They absolutely can. Now you start looking at it and look at who else is. They're playing a dead last place schedule. You look at the Browns roster with additions along the offensive line. You look at, you know, Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. You look at Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb and the running backs to go along with Duke Johnson. You look at the wide receivers and the addition of Jarvis Landry. You look at the acquisitions on this team And you look at Myles Garrett, who was hurt at the start of last year, who's now healthy along the defensive line. And Denzel Ward locking down one corner spot. Jabril Peppers, his second year in the league. Getting Demarius Randall from the Green Bay Packers. Oh, Jamar Taylor from the Miami Dolphins. They have E.J. Gaines, you know, who's now going to slide inside where he's much, much better fit. Now, all of a sudden, you got the makings of a pretty decent upscale defense. Good pass rush with Agba, Collins, who's healthy, Garrett, who's healthy. It's a pretty good pass rush right there to go along with a great secondary. They made the offensive line additions with Betonio and Treader last year in the interior. Zeitler from Cincinnati also. You get Jarvis Landry in there. You get more established quarterback. Get a full season out of Josh Gordon. That's the talent is huge in Cleveland. It's huge. They're going to win five games. Look at the rest of the schedule. The New York Jets, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, those are wins. Those are wins. I'm talking about the outside the division schedule. Texans, Broncos, pretty winnable ball games there too. I mean, there's plenty of wins. The Chargers, I like what they've done on defense. Raiders, you know, get John Gruden in, but he's stuck in 1998 for crying out loud. Can they beat the Raiders? Absolutely. Can they beat the Chargers? Absolutely. Maybe they would only win one of them. The Chiefs? The Chiefs are on the schedule. Chiefs aren't any good. In fact, the Chiefs total is one that's really tempting to me because it's 7.5. I might pound the under on the Chiefs win total this year. Pat Mahomes, have you looked at what the Chiefs have done on defense? They got rid of everybody. Everybody's gone. Every defender and everybody in the secondary is gone. In Kansas City, from a defense to absolutely shit the bed at the end of last year. And now you get an inexperienced quarterback in there. The offensive line already beaten up. Andy Reid can do so much. He's a good regular season coach. But that secondary may be the worst in professional football right now. And they don't offer anything as far as the pass rush. The entire defense, almost on a position-by-position basis, I would take everybody in Cleveland over Kansas City. Every single one, defense to defense, and most of the offense too. So I think that's a very, very good chance to win as well. So there, yeah, it's just a really good non-conference games, or conference and non-conference games here for in a division that's highly winnable. Pound the over 4.5. Other ones to monitor here, I will bet the under on Seattle Seahawks at 8.5. Again, is anybody paying attention? Is anybody paying attention in the United States and beyond? Is anybody paying attention to what's going on in Seattle? Seattle's lost everything. Seattle, let me give you a little hint here, folks. They lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their defensive coordinator. They had the worst offensive line in National Football League last year. They made zero acquisitions to improve that. Zero. They lost their number two wide receiver in Paul Richardson. Okay, they bring in Rashad Penny, an inexperienced running back behind a terrible offensive line. Does that help? I guess maybe a little. Maybe a little. And then what else you got? They lose Richard Sherman, who's the captain of the goddamn team. He's one of the top cornerbacks, the smartest cornerbacks and defensive backs in the National Football League. He leaves, and where does he go? Oh, by the way, he's now in the division. He's now on the San Francisco 49ers playing in the division. Think he knows a thing or two? That division, all of a sudden, has gotten a lot harder for the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks legitimately could finish last place in the NFC West. All right? Now, Arizona might have something to say about that, but the Rams and 49ers are almost clearing away ahead of the Seattle Seahawks. It's not close because they're also tempted, and they still might trade Earl Thomas. Which they're going to do something there. And Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor have been beaten to hell. That's all they have left. They have no corners at all. This team, Nico Thorpe, holy cow. Justin Coleman. This is not a good secondary any longer in Seattle. Oh, and they lose Michael Bennett, who goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. So who's going to rush the passer? They don't have anybody. Frank Clark, Jerron Reed, Nazir Jones. Rashim Green, a third-round pick? Oh, my God, folks. This is a bad defense. Offense has got trouble. Defense got trouble in improving to position. And you think they might win nine games? There's no freaking way they're winning nine games. Now, Seattle could win five or six, but significantly under the 8.5. We only have to lay one minus 120 for that. Not bad. It's not bad at all. I'm taking Seattle and the minus and the negative all day, every day. And then the other one, those are my two locks right now. I'm absolutely that. Other ones that I'm interested in here, I don't think the Buffalo Bills, they're at 6.5 games. And the thing that intrigues me about the Buffalo line is we're plus 125 they're minus 145. Misread it. Minus 145 on the under for the Buffalo Bills. So it's still fine. I think the Bills might be the worst team in football. Look what happened to their offensive line this offseason as well. And again, you go and look at who's been improving. Scratch everything I said about the Buffalo Bills, because they do have the Dolphins and Jets. And I think the Dolphins and Jets are so freaking bad as well. And they didn't make much to improve. The Dolphins may surprise. Jets have absolutely no chance. All right, I'm not betting the Buffalo under anymore. Other ones that I do like, the Colts over, kind of like it, because right now that 6.5 win total, right? That 6.5 win total is assuming there's a chance that Andrew Luck doesn't play. And I'm standing by everything that I've heard, read, seen. Andrew Luck is going to play, and he'll play 16 games in 2018. And right now, he still hasn't thrown the football. People are still freaking out. But when there's panic in the streets, it's an opportunity for us. So the over on the Indianapolis Colts 6.5 win total, that's another one that I like. Not as no doubters as the Seahawks under or the Cleveland Browns over as far as season win totals are concerned, but I definitely like the Indianapolis Colts pick there. And we'll address this as the days and weeks go on. If there are other bets you guys like or want my opinion on, hit me up at Jeff_Manz, the Jeff Manz on other social media outlets. Let me know what you guys are thinking. You like those two bets that I'm throwing at you? What do you think about the Indianapolis Colts? I'm guessing that all of you listening are still falling in line with, I have Andrew Luck as the fifth quarterback on my board right now as well. If you don't mind that, him being ranked there on my quarterback rankings over at guruelite.com, then chances are you like the over in the Indianapolis win total as well. If you don't like that ranking, you're probably saying that no way am I wagering money that the Colts are going to win six or more games, because a lot of that has to do with the quarterback, Andrew Luck. Let's get into other ways. So those are a couple ways to win money right now, all right? Other ways to win money with football and paying attention to fantasy football is best ball leagues. They're hot, they're heavy, they're everywhere. They are fun to do. They take very, very little types of dedication. You draft your team, and that is it. You don't have to do much else. And on the last podcast, if this is the first podcast of the season you guys are listening to, number one, what the hell took you so long? Because we are now 5 episodes in, and we've done other shows. And the 4th episode of season 2 of Fantasy Football Elite we talked about best ball overviews, where to play, MFL10s versus draft.com, rtsports.com, all different places that are rolling out a best ball type product. MFL10s are the most intriguing. They're the most popular version of best ball. I think draft.com is really narrowing the gap and are a close second. And remember, difference in full point PPR and MFL10, a half point PPR in best ball, in draft.com best ball league format. So how do you make money playing best ball right now? Well, you have to have some sort of idea what you're doing. You have to have reads on players. Also on last week's episode, I talked about Jerick McKinnon, running back for the San Francisco 49ers, being an incredible value in best ball league formats right now. I think at the time we recorded that Jerick McKinnon was the 20th off the board, and he still has an ADP outside of the top 3 rounds. This guy's a second round pick, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle Shanahan running back. Look it up. Improvements along the offensive line. McGlinchey from Notre Dame, first round pick for the 49ers. They get Staley back. There's a lot to like in San Francisco, and Jerick McKinnon seems to be Kyle Shanahan's guy. We can't ignore that. So that's one advantage that we have out there. The advantage I want to talk about, and we'll lay in more best ball ideas and best ball strategies in future podcasts. But today, I want to talk quarterbacks, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about quarterback drafting and roster construction and how we right now, how the Elite Mafia, how we fantasy football elite listeners can gain an advantage on our opponents in best ball leagues. How do you do it with quarterbacks? Only draft two. Two quarterbacks is the proper roster construction in MFL 10 or other best ball league formats. And every format, whether it's RT Sports, Draft.com, and MFL 10 specifically, here's some numbers just to back it up. Just so, I mean, people aren't talking about it. Here's the deal. If those of you who listen to my Sirius XM radio show Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, the Guru Elite Show, by the way, we've been talking a lot of best ball leagues and best ball formats and ADP and strategies. And this past week, we actually did our top five best ball strategies on there. And one of the things I said was I talked a little bit about the two quarterback theory. I'm going to go much deeper into it now. But during that show, we had people call in with roster construction, and everybody says you have to draft three quarterbacks. Everybody says three quarterbacks is the way to go. They're like, two, I'm just too scared. I was talking to my producers about it, and everybody like, I'm just too worried about what happens to, I don't like my roster, and I don't like you only having two quarterbacks in case of injury and things like that. But I'm telling you guys, the numbers back it up. 61.4% last year. 61.4%. Think of that, how high of a number that is. And you know exactly where I'm going with that. 61.4% of winning teams in the money last year had two quarterbacks. It's the second highest percentage of winning teams that any roster construction in best ball or MFL 10 specifically had in 2017. The only higher one is one I actually kind of disagree with, but it's two defenses, 73.6. Now, I'll tell you why the defensive thing. I've got an idea. I disagree with the defense, by the way. Only two defense. I think you have to draft more defenses. All right. Now, I'll tell you why in a moment. The reason the number is so high with the winning teams of two defense, because that's all anybody drafts, because that's the way most people do it. There's so many more. It's a bigger pool. So, you know, having two defenses is something. And if you get the right one, especially if you get the Jags last year or somebody like that, again, forward thinking, again, I had predicted last year Jacksonville Jaguars over their 5.5 win total, which was a future bet that we gave out last year on the Sirius XM show. And I also had predicted that Jacksonville Jaguars would have a top 10 defense. And after one game, I said, okay, scratch that. They're going to have a top 5 defense. And then I also predicted the Jacksonville Jaguars would go to the playoffs last year, which they did before the season ever started. But nevertheless, I think that two quarterbacks are the way to go. Now, it's not just that you could draft any two quarterbacks. It's not about that. What you have to do is you have to draft the right quarterbacks. And that takes a little doing. And here's the trade-off when you say, all right, I'm only going to a quarterback. You're going to have to take the quarterbacks earlier. You're going to have to get better guys. The reason I agree with the quarterback number of 61.4% that won money in MFL 10s last year. By the way, 51.9% were the league winners that drafted two quarterbacks. That's the highest correlation, way higher than the two defensive crew. All right? So a lot higher than those with two defenses. So just take that for what it's worth. The reason I agree is the variance with quarterbacks is very low. On a game-in and game-out basis, on a season-in, season-out basis. That's one of the reasons we advocate at Guru Elite and beyond. And at this point, almost anybody worth their salt is advocating to wait on quarterbacks in redraft leagues, right? Everybody, all you guys all know it. You guys are hardcore fantasy football players. You guys are good fantasy football players. And if you're not, it's time to get on board. Now, the way to do it is to wait on quarterbacks. you don't need it. It's just a highly unnecessary use of a high draft pick when you're getting players that are very steadfast, very good on a week in and week out basis, and you could draft them 4, 5, 6 rounds later. Aaron Rodgers is the consensus number one quarterback this year. He's my number one quarterback. He's number one in best ball and MFL 10 ADP. He's number one in the hearts and minds of America, I guess. No problem, no big deal. I could support that. Obviously, I do because my rankings are up there at GuruLeet.com. But is Aaron Rodgers in the second round? Does that make a lot of sense when you can go and get a, oh, golly gee willikers, who knows, a Drew Brees in the 9th round, which is about where he's going right now? I mean, 8.5. His current ADP for Drew Brees is 91.92. Cam Newton, 90.64. Carson Wentz, 85. Kirk Cousins, 101. Garoppolo, 102. Matt Stafford, 107. That's 9th, 10th round. Can you really say you're going to draft Aaron Rodgers that much better on a per-game basis? He's a little better. He's fairly more consistent, which is good. But at the same time, when points per game comes down to it, last year, Aaron Rodgers was very, very good. He had 18.7 average points per game. The only ones higher, Deshaun Watson, who barely played, he only played 6 games. Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz, fine. Alex Smith at 19, but again, less than a point more per game. 1 point per game separates him from being the 6th best quarterback on a per game basis and the 3rd best. So it's such a small area, whereas if you go to defense, defense is the single most, defensive special teams, the most variable position on the football field. It's the swing, it's dramatic. Any given day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could throw up 22 points, having the worst defense in the league. Cleveland Browns scored over 18 twice last year. Their defense is god-awful to win a damn game like we talked about. And they still scored over 18 fantasy points. Because the variance is crazy high. So you need to embrace the variance in MFL 10s and best ball leagues and embrace it by drafting less quarterbacks. You don't need that. If you're the difference between your quarterbacks, if you're occupying 3 roster spots with quarterbacks, and let's say your quarterbacks last year were Aaron Rodgers, the best in the business. You got a great, let's say you drafted Carson Wentz, who I was high on going into last year, and he did well, even though he ended up getting hurt. Okay, and then you drafted who? Let's say, your 3rd quarterback was a random throw-in guy like Tyrod Taylor. Let's say that. Those are your 3. Okay, on a game in and game out basis, the most points you were ever really gaining there's some games you up to 7. The biggest variation between those 3 was 7 points, and that happened in 1 week. Okay, 7.2 to be exact. The average variance between those positions on a week in and week out basis, 4.8 points. That's what you're gaining. And so you're having 3 guys put up similar numbers, and yeah, one's always going to be better, but it's not a highly variable position. And let's face it, last year was a fluke. Watson, Wentz, Rodgers all getting hurt. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen very often. Okay? Quarterbacks don't get hurt the rate that running backs do. They don't get hurt at the rate that tight ends get hurt. So another reason that you can get away with it, only drafting 2. And what I mean is draft a high-end guy. Go ahead and make the pick. Maybe not Aaron Rodgers in the 4th round. But every other quarterback on the board, Aaron Rodgers is the only one, by the way, with a 4th round or higher right now. So you can get Russell Wilson in the 5th round of MFL 10. And again, I don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but mostly because I think their defense sucks. I do think they're going to be playing from behind a ton, and Russell Wilson's going to have to run for his life. So why not? If you want that to be the number one quarterback, him, I would personally go with Brady ahead of Russell Wilson, but fine. Deshaun Watson, if you wanted to take a chance as your guy, fine. Take one of those 3 guys, make him your QB1, and that's who you go with. Your only other quarterback that you need is for the bye week. or in case that guy gets hurt and then you're going to lose 1 week out of, that kind of sucks, but you can still win with like it. It's not the end of the world in total points, best ball formats, folks. It's not the end of the world. So let's say your second guy, you're going to have to draft a second guy a little bit better, a guy who's not in any danger of getting benched or anything like any other risks. And that would be what? Breeze, Cousins, Garoppolo, Stafford, one of those guys? Hell freaking yeah. Russell Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, those are your two quarterbacks. Go to war. Russell, Tom Brady, and Matt Stafford, go to war with that. You don't need that third guy. You don't need it. Use the third on another defense. Use the third on another running back. Handcuff one of your running backs in case of injuries because it's more volatile and it's more injury worrisome. So do that. That's the way to build your rosters. Two quarterbacks. And the numbers play it out. Even last year when you had more hurt, high-end quarterbacks hurt than ever, the numbers still tell you two quarterbacks was the winning formula. And three quarterbacks is just making you feel warm and snug. Screw warm and snug. Give me that seventh wideout. Give me that sixth running back. That's the way to do it. That's the way to construct a roster, at least to start, at least at the quarterback position. And again, personally, I look at it as I'm going to fade that quarterback slot, the third quarterback, and I'm going to get another defense. That's the way I'm rolling. I'll go four on defense. I'll talk more about that in a future episode, right? I don't have time today. But I'll go four deep on defense. I don't give a crap. I don't give a shit who it is. I'll draft a decent, two solid defenses, and now I'll just bottom the barrel, baby. 3 a.m. at the end of the bar, whatever's available, getting it, whatever it is. I'll get any defense because I know those defense twice a year, four times combined, are going to jump up and score me close to 20. And they might be my highest scoring defense in several weeks. You can't say that at other positions. You just can't do it. So that's the way I personally look at it. But it's not, I understand you guys aren't used to this format. Maybe you're new to best ball. It's okay. Four defenses or three, using a quarterback for a defense may freak you the hell out. In that case, just say, all right, you know what? I'm only going to do quarterbacks, and I'm going to use that other quarterback slot for a running back. Because I feel in 2018 that's something we all could agree on. We all could say, yeah, that's a good idea. Get another running back in there. Put another running back into the mix, a handcuff, a backup, whatever you have to do to pad yourself a little bit. That's a more reasonable approach and a way to look at it, I think, for all of us. All right? So there you go. Some best ball strategies for everybody there as well. Other ways to win money. So we got futures locked down. We got a best ball strategy in there. And I've got a couple of players like Jerick McKinnon that you could throw into that. Jimmy Garoppolo, who I do love. And by the way, in that Dynasty League I was talking about last week, that Dynasty League that I drafted Royce Freeman in, I ended up trading Royce Freeman. I traded him for Jimmy Garoppolo because my quarterback, I had no quarterback. I had Jay Cutler, who was retiring, obviously. I had Josh McCown, who's likely not to start. And my third quarterback, I don't even know who the hell it was. Somebody else who was no longer playing. So I had no quarterbacks. So I said, screw it. I traded that, what amounted to the second overall dynasty pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. And I got a fourth round pick in the deal as well. So I got a little bit extra there. Not my proudest thing. I hate trading running backs for quarterbacks, but I was desperate. It's a 16-teamer. We start tons of IDPs as well. And I just said, screw it. I'm getting my quarterback. I'm sick of playing roulette because my quarterbacks have been down for since I was in the championship game 3 years ago. I've lost all my quarter. Oh, I paid Manning. And Peyton Manning goes down, then he gets hurt, and he was never himself. So I've been chasing the whole freaking time. Other ways to win money. Oh, man, speaking of money, before I get to Dynasty, how to start up Dynasty, are you Royal Wedding people? Who watched the Royal Wedding? All right, one, here's what I want you to do. Everybody watched the Royal Wedding. Or any, if you watch more than 10 minutes of this, all right, I want you to raise your hand up in the air. Okay, all right, that's way more of you than I thought. Okay, if you watch them, with that same hand, I now want you to bring it down straight towards your face and slap yourself in the mouth because that's what you deserve. That royal wedding, it is absolute garbage. The fact that we have royalty in today's age, in 2018, in the world, and we have people that people really believe that there's some sort of specialness to somebody born into royalty, and the fact that people will flock out there and sit on rafters, and there's three different churches, and there's spectators more watching the fucking royal wedding than are watching the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I wouldn't doubt it. There's more live, put it this way. I'll tell you what I know. There are more people that are watching that royal wedding than they're going to Guaranteed Rate Field and watching the Chicago White Sox play baseball these days. And yeah, the White Sox stink, but it's a major club that is trying their best, and there's got a lot of young talent there. All right, they're at least trying, and yet you're watching somebody, oh my God, oh, well, look what dress she wore, and look at her mother, and look at this, and oh, for Christ's sake. Can you tell my wife was watching it? Yeah, she watched it. Drove me absolutely up the wall. My daughter even went to a damn party about the royal wedding. Drove me crazy. I can't believe this crap. Nobody is born better than anybody else. Remember that. Or that's your tip for the day. That you know how else to make a lot of money and just life is, remember that nobody's born better. They try harder. They have better parents. That I agree with. You know, better parents, better upbringing, all that stuff is 100% true. But you're not born better. No two child that are born, and this one's just inherently better. One is one set of skills. One will have another set of skills. Doesn't mean you're better or worse. Royalty shit is nonsense. Absolutely appalling to me. I hate it. Absolutely hate that we just think, oh, because this person's born in royalty, and now this person, Meghan Markle, is now a better actress because she's royalty. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Does anybody watch Suits? Does anybody watch? I've watched two episodes. I swear to God, two episodes I wanted to just drown myself in pills. They're better actors now. Screw that. Royal freaking wedding. Unbelievable. Anyway, I digress. How else do we make money? That's, by the way, that's the best tip of this whole show. Just, I will be straightforward with you guys. Dynasty leagues. If you're paying attention to fantasy football in the months of March, April, May, and June, you should be playing Dynasty. That's what it's for. It's for you. And today what I wanted to do is talk about starting out in Dynasty leagues. And just a couple tips, things that I've referred to on previous episodes and shows. And those who follow my work through, you know, my other various places when I ran different sites and things, and now here at Guru Elite and on the SiriusXM show, you know how I roll. You do not, no matter what, if you're playing Dynasty League, do not be that person. Do not be the guy or gal that plays for 2-3 years in the future all the time. And I know I've said the same thing in previous podcasts, but I need to just focus everybody on this now. Don't be that person. Don't be the guy or gal that says, oh, you know what, I'm just always going to rebuild. Like, if, for instance, when I made the trade of Royce Freeman in my Dynasty League for Jimmy Garoppolo that I just talked about, you bet your ass I could have traded for Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. Remember, I like going into the draft, I like Rosen the most now, or Baker Mayfield. Bayfield's better. Isn't it easy? Bayfield's so much easier to say. Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson were the three guys I was interested in going to the draft. I hated Lamar Jackson's landing spot. He's not going to play for years. Doesn't help. So I could have traded for any one of this draft class. Easy. And I could have gave up a lot less than Royce Freeman. But that's not worth it. It's not anything. My defense is pretty solid. I've got good wideouts. I got Kareem Hunt. I got Marlon Mack in this league. I got a couple running backs that could really do some damage and really be something. And I need a guy to guide it. So I need somebody that could win now. I'm not going to play for, hey, this guy's going to be good in 2-3 years. I'm not doing that. I saw Jimmy Garoppolo's been in the league. I saw what he did then in the last year. This guy's a player. He got a huge contract. There's absolutely no chance he's benched ever. So we're locked and loaded. And it's a move that I think he'll get better. And the 49ers will get better and the numbers will get better as years go on. But I think right now he's a guy that could help me win a championship. He could help me win right now. And stop doing this thing where you're trading all these players to try to get draft picks and try to always become perennially young. Win a championship. Because here's the deal, folks. Just is your dynasty league, just like any NFL general manager, head coach, you get a 2-3-4 year window. And if you can't get the team into contention, then you're done. It's over. So if you play for 2021 right now, and that's your goal, I'm going to win. Let's say you're playing for 2020, because that's what everyone thinks, that 2 years from now. Never for next year, always for 2 years. So you're going to play 2 years from now. All it takes is one or two things not to pan out. And all of a sudden, your 2020 plan is garbage. And now it's a 2021 plan. And that 2021 plan, quickly you got to start grasping at straws, and it becomes a 2022 plan. Well, guess what? When it's 2020 and you're still playing for 2022, front office, league mates, everybody else, yourself, you're going to get paranoid. You're going to start freaking out, making rash decisions. And all of a sudden, it leads you down a path. And you lose, and you lose your job. You should be kicked out of the league. That's the way it goes. And especially if you're playing high-stakes dynasty, you're going to lose a ton of money doing it. Stop doing that. Be smart. Pick players. Acquire players that can help you in the future, but can also win now. You need to win now. So quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's a guy who could help you win now. Cam Newton, still young enough. Carson Wentz, still young enough to help you win now. Deshaun Watson, we saw last year, is a piece to help you win now. And they get better in the future, right? Right there, there you go. Running backs, who are some guys that could help you win now and in the future? Running back is such a young person's game that we know, you know, there's very hard, like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell and Gurley. These are younger guys. They're not going to get any better, and their value is through the roof. Saquon Barkley, we already know. But that's why I talked to Royce Freeman last time. But what about other guys? What about players that are sort of outside the mixture? Joe Mixon, Cincinnati improved their offensive line. They don't have Jeremy Hill there anymore. Joe Mixon's a guy who can help you right now and should get better in the future. Jordan Howard had a pretty miserable year catching the football for the Bears, led to Tariq Cohen getting so many catches out of the backfield, so much playing time. He's a guy that could get better with offensive line being healthy for the Bears, all right? And there's other guys, Kenyon Drake, Jerick McKinnon, who we talked about. These are guys who could help you win now and in the future. And those are the guys we should be targeting. Those are the ones we need to target and think about. Not these guys that are not players that are going, you know, all the rookies in the world. Even the running backs is a very specific position in which they are. It's a young man's game for sure. But you want them on their ascension. Remember last year drafting Kareem Hunt, which I did, by the way. Only reason I have Kareem Hunt in this league is because I had Spencer Ware and I handcuffed and I, you know, wisely drafted. I drafted my backup in the second round as Kareem Hunt. Now I got a top eight running back. Okay. It's the way to do it. And you that's the way you replenish in the dynasty league. All right. Don't draft guys who are past their prime. Draft guys who are coming of age, but can do it now because something changed. They got a better quarterback. They have a better offensive line around them. Wide receivers in that same mentality. The Browns wide receiver, Allen Robinson going to Chicago with a young quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. Same with Anthony Miller there in Chicago. One of these guys are going to be Trubisky's favorite target, and they're going to run an up-tempo offense, and they're going to run a good offense. Or at least that's the hope. They're a developing offensive team with Trubisky and the improvements along the offensive line. The center from Iowa that they took, James Daniels, I believe is his name. And you get Kyle Long back. Cody Whitehair is the player they took last year. And then you get Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller, another year from Mitch Trubisky, Tariq Cohen, and then you get Taylor Gabriel. All of a sudden, this offense is ready to ascend. So that's where we need to be on it as well. Other situations where guys are young but sort of just outside for dynasty league purposes. What about Corey Davis? Last year, he was the number one. He was a first-round pick in dynasty league. Yet Tennessee goes and wets the bed, and he basically amounts to a zero. But he's a guy that possibly could be in a better situation now in Tennessee with a brand-new offense and no more exotic smash mouth. Could be their downfield guy. All right, Devontae Parker, Miami. We've been waiting for him forever. Those who drafted him 3 years ago are ready to sell him on the cheap. Go out and acquire a guy like that because they're going to have to throw a lot because defense sucks and the team sucks. So he should be the beneficiary of that. So players like that, they're young. You invest in them now, and they could do big things for you as well. All right, so that's the key to winning in Dynasty, folks, all right? And other people also asked me last week some questions from everybody. And by the way, any topics you want me to take on, folks, nothing is off limits. And if you want more royal wedding pander, I'm in because I got a whole freaking book of notes on that garbage. But last week, some people, when we were talking Dynasty Leagues, were saying, what about an IDP league and setting up an IDP? What's the scoring philosophy? For one, if you're setting up a Dynasty League, 12 teams, 16-team league, 16-team, the bigger the Dynasty League, the better. Spreads the talent out a lot more. And if you do an IDP-style format. And I've been saying it for years, and I'll say it again here. Here's the way to start out in IDP. All right, and we'll get more into this, but get rid of kickers. Kickers, I like kickers more than defense. I do. I think there's more strategy with a kicker than there is with defense special teams. Defense special teams sucks. It's absolutely garbage. It's terrible. So get rid of kickers and defense special teams. Boom, boom, gone. Add one roster spot. Add one starting lineup spot. And thus, you get three IDP starters every week, right? And that's all you have to do because, you know, most teams take one kicker, one defense, all right? All you have to do is add one to two roster spots for IDP. And all of a sudden you have people with four IDP players. Yes, they'll have to mix and match or there'll be talent on there. And you start one defensive lineman, one linebacker, one defensive back. That's what you do. That's all you have to do to start an IDP league. Perfectly easy. And doing Dynasty IDP, it's a lot of fun. Started out with people who are diehards like you who are paying attention to football and fantasy football in the months of April, May, and June. And you guys are going to have an absolute great time. Simple IDP scoring. That was actually the question that was asked to me at Jeff_Manns on Twitter. 1 point for tackle, 3 for sacks, 2 for forced fumbles, 2 for fumble recoveries, 6 points for touchdowns, obviously, 3 points for interceptions, 4 points for safeties. That's the simpleness. You don't need to do all those forced fumble and fumble recovery. If you're to, I would give 2 points for a fumble recovery, and you could easily etch out the forced fumble, you know, take that out of your scoring system as well. You could move, and if you want fumble recoveries, 2 points, and interceptions, 2 points, absolutely doable there as well to make those two events equal, even though fumble recoveries, there's a lot more variance to that than there are interceptions, but I digress. Safeties, it's fine. You could go up to 6 if you want. They just don't happen very much. Just I wouldn't keep them that high in point. I wouldn't go higher than 4 on safeties. And 1 point per tackle and things like that. And again, future episodes here of Fantasy Football Elite, we're going to be talking IDP breakdowns and things like that for those who'd like to get after it. If you want to advance IDP scoring format, you can, you know what, let's save the advanced stuff for future episode because I really want to tackle a whole show full of IDPs, individual defensive players. That's what IDP stands for those who may not know. But for now, let's stick to the dynasty element of it. And that's how you start up a dynasty league. That should be your focus of it. Get people who are like-minded. Bigger leagues, the more fun it would be. More roster spaces. Have a taxi squad. You know, have an injured reserve so people can make real life personnel moves and things like that. And when you're playing, don't always take the younger player. The younger player doesn't mean the better player. Just because you're the youngest roster doesn't mean you're certified champions in whenever those players come of age. Because players come of age at different positions. They come of age different times. Some never come of age because of their coaches, coordinators, personnel around them, and all of that. So just remember that, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Remember, folks, I talked MFL 10s. Also want to remind everybody that we are playing daily fantasy baseball and we'll be playing best ball leagues. We already are drafting our best ball teams over on draft. We'll be playing daily fantasy football come the 2018 regular season on draft.com. Go to draft.com/guru elite right now, or just use the promo code guru elite. And you guys could not only get, you'll get 100% deposit bonus, double your money already. fits with our bill today, baby. How to make money right now. That's how you make money right now. Go to draft.com, put the deposit in. You'll get 100% deposit bonus by using the promo code GURUELITE. Also, you'll get access to private contests with me, Tommy G, Kevin Adams, MLB model, Ted Schuster, Ray Flowers, Jeff Collins, Draft Sheet, and our entire crew, Benny Ricciardi, Vlad Sedler, there as well. Speaking of Vlad Sedler and Benny Ricciardi, guys, these guys, the Roto in the Gut podcast, for all of those playing fantasy baseball, it's out. It is brand new, and it premiered last Friday, and every single weekday, right around lunchtime, we get a full daily fantasy baseball podcast from the Roto Gut himself, Vlad Sedler, and Benny Ricciardi, the man, the myth, the legend there as well. Make sure you guys are following them on Twitter and listening to Roto and the Gut. I love the podcast. Two of my favorites in the business, folks. So make sure you're listening to that. Guru Elite subscribers only for that podcast, however. So make sure you subscribe to any one of our various packages. Our daily fantasy baseball packages is out right now. We have all the fantasy football content for free right now over at GuruElite.com. So make sure you're checking that out. As well, we've got our horse racing guides up there. Just did our Preakness stuff over this weekend. Hit the winners on that. We got our NBA package, our MLB betting guide for those who like futures and in-games and hanging out with us in our chat rooms. Everything's over there at GuruElite.com. But again, going back to draft.com, use the promo code GuruElite. You'll see what we're doing. Our entire crew, you get private contests. You'll play against us. You'll see. You'll be able to access the contest that we're playing in as well. So again, appreciate you guys using that. Draft.com/GuruElite, or just use the promo code GuruElite when you sign up. And again, deposit bonus for you right there. All right, all the housekeeping is out. Remember, screw the Royals. Nobody is born better than you. Till next time, I am Jeff Mance for Fantasy Football Elite.